Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Maher, broadcasting from the studios live on KKNW at 1150 a.m. here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. During this last hour, we were talking to Robert Salas and Emma Louise Hansen, Jan Erik Karstensen, as well as Terje Wolfsberg from Norway at a wonderful UFO conference. I'll be bringing Robert Salas back on again, as well as Emma Louise Hansen and Jan Erik Karstensen in just a few minutes. But before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this program so much, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the top upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And I really appreciate all your wonderful help and support. I also would like to thank everyone listening today ask everyone listening today to send lots of love and light to my good friend Orion. He's still dealing with throat cancer. He's getting better, but your love and light to him would be so appreciated. He lives in Bend, Oregon, and I know that your good thoughts and prayers have helped him in the past. As well, I'd like to have everyone send some good energy to my good friend Dr. William Mountain Tacoma, and they're both feeling better. Thanks so much. Thanks to your beautiful love and light. I also want to thank everyone so much for their support for my Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held here in Olympia, Washington, in the United States earlier this year. Because of the success of the conference, I'll be having my fourth annual Galactic Wisdom Conference on March 9th, 10th, and 11th, 2018, at the same location at 9101 Stillicum Road, southeast in Olympia, about an hour south of the Seattle airport. The website for the conference is at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And much of the information on the website is from this year's conference, but we'll be updating it soon. And if you register early before the end of this December, registration will be only $147 for the entire three-day event. After January 1st, the cost will be $197. And to register, you can use PayPal with this email address of outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can send the payment to me if you like by check or money order to Ted Maher at P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington. The zip code is 98509-5331. Our speakers for next year's conference will be Michiko Hayashi, the Moto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan, and her friend and colleague Dr. Yoshi, who will be demonstrating the awesome Hado vibrational machines, which can help people and diagnose almost any spiritual or physical condition. In addition, we'll have a famous naturopathic doctor, Dr. Cairo Roca, from the Bahamas, who will be giving presentations on acupuncture, feng shui, ancient Buddhist healing techniques, homeopathy, and a host of other alternative methods. I really like Dr. Roca. He's an incredible man, and I'm sure you'll like him too. We'll also be having Dr. Angel Fernandez from the Dominican Republic, who will be talking about Telos and the New Earth. He's an amazing man. I hope you can meet him. In addition to that, Simon Parks from famous ET Contact will be giving a presentation. And I also plan to be inviting Paul Hillier to give a presentation at the conference. As well, I'll be giving a presentation on messages from Professor Albert Einstein, President Jack Kennedy, his brother to Senator Robert F. Kennedy, as well as Mahatma Gandhi, Nikolai Tesla, Nostradamus, the Galactic Alliance, and Dr. Emoto. So the conference should be really out of this world, and I hope you can all come. My book is also available. It was published last month, called Messages from the Masters. It's available both on CreateSpace and on Amazon. But if you'd like an autographed copy, along with a brief reading for the book, it's just $20. And just send me an email if you're interested. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. My Out of This World television show, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area, has become very popular. And there are now almost 50 episodes available, and you can watch it. If you're outside Seattle, you can also look me up on YouTube under either Ted Maher, M-A-H-R, or Out of This World. I'd also like to mention that there'll be a wonderful psychic fair happening in Olympia, Washington on Saturday, January 20th, 2018. There will be over 25 different vendors, ranging from psychic readers, crystal sellers, bookstores, astrologists, and all kinds of spiritual people at this second annual Cosmic Awareness Fair. Admission is free, and there will also be a series of free lectures throughout the day, including myself, where I'll be giving a presentation on the Emoto Peace Project. The Emoto Peace Project teaches little children between the ages of 3 and 12 the lessons of love and gratitude. And the theory from Dr. Moda is that if we teach these children love and gratitude at a young age, when they become adults, they'll want to make this world a much peaceful, more peaceful and happier place. Also, I'm also asking for your support. We have 1,000 beautiful children's books printed in Japan, which we'd like to ship from Japan to the United States to distribute free here to the children here in the U.S. and Canada. And we now just need $500 to ship the books here in the U.S. Or I should say we need $450 because we just got in a $50 donation. So if you'd like to donate for the cost of shipping these books to the U.S., you can use PayPal using this email, outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can send the donation to me, Ted Marr, at P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509-5331. We are nonprofit, and I want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful support. Together, I know we can create a much better and happier world. Also, I want to tell everyone some good news. I just learned that in the spring of next year, 2018, I'll be part of a movie called The Cure by Hollywood French producer Emmanuel Eiter. Emmanuel will be on my show 1 week from today to talk about this movie and others he's producing, and he's an amazing man, and I'm so grateful he'll be on my show next week. Also next week, I'll be having Tom Palladino on my show. He's an amazing and famous scalar energy healer from Florida, and I'll know you'll really enjoy his interview. With that, I'd like to go back to my wonderful friends in Norway at the International UFO Conference. And first off, I'd like to bring on Robert Salas and wrap up his wonderful interview and then go on to Emma Louise and Jan Erik Carstensen. Robert, are you still there?
Yes, Ted, I am.
Oh, good. Could you give out your website one more time so people could look up your wonderful books and order them if they want more information?
Sure, www.spiralgalaxy.org.
Okay, wonderful. And I'd love to you wrap up your wonderful interview, too. Could say a few minutes.
Well, the incident, as you mentioned earlier, is not unique. The one I described, we had the Echo flight incident and the Oscar flight. The two incidents happened within a week of each other. Again, all 10 missiles were shut down by UFOs. This was not the only incident where UFOs were seen over missile sites and other nuclear weapons sites. I've got about 14 at least other incidents which I described where these things happened. And you're correct when you say that the ETs are very concerned about our nuclear weapons. Mm-hmm. The fact that we have so many, up to 37,000 nuclear weapons at one point.
You're kidding me. My goodness. That's a lot, Robert. That's a lot of weapons.
Now we've got a little under 10,000, maybe 8,000, but the Russians have another 8,000 to 10,000. There are still 9 nations of the world that have nuclear weapons, and obviously we've got an issue, a very serious one right now with North Korea. We are not out of the woods with regards to the possibility of nuclear war, and I just wanted to emphasize that, and the fact that ET is well aware of this possibility. Now, whether or not they would intercede is a good question.
Sure. I think they would, actually, and they've interceded with Fukushima, cleaning up much of the radiation across the Pacific and around Fukushima. They haven't cleaned it up completely because they want us to learn that nuclear power, nuclear energy, nuclear weapons is not a good thing for this planet, and we should get rid of them because they're nothing but harm. Nuclear weapons is what destroyed the misuse of them actually is what I'm told was what destroyed this planet 12,500 years ago in the hands of the Atlanteans, who blew up much of the planet using technology they shouldn't have been messing around with. And history, as you know, Robert, has a tendency to repeat itself. And there's that famous quote from Lord Acton in the United Kingdom, back in the 19th century that if you ignore the lessons of history, you're bound to repeat them. So, but
I quote in my book H.G. Wells. He wrote a book in 1914, if you will.
Okay.
It was called The World Set Free, 1914. Mm-hmm. And this was after Madame Curie discovered radioactivity.
Mm-hmm.
But he wrote a book basically about atomic weapons and having nuclear war and asking the question, maybe we should, or maybe we're supposed to have a nuclear war in order to understand the destructive power of these things, which is pretty amazing. 1914.
That's amazing. Yeah, I have to tell you that I've been in touch with Leonardo da Vinci on the other side for the last several years now, and he also had some amazing things to say about the future, but he did a lot of time travel, and I wouldn't doubt, Robert, if H.G. Wells also did some time traveling as well into the future. You know,
exactly. Yes.
You know, it's just amazing. Well, Robert, I want to thank you so much for coming on my show today, and I know everyone's really enjoyed what you had to say.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you for having me.
And if you're in, whenever you're in the Seattle area, please stop by and visit, and love to have you on my show again anytime.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, Robert, you have a wonderful day, and thank you again for coming on.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. And with that, I'd like to invite my good friends, Emma Louise Hansen and Jan Eric Carstensen on. They're also at this UFO conference. And Emma Louise and Jan Eric, how are you today?
Hi.
We're still here.
You're still here. Okay, you're good. You're still here. Now, Emma Louise, you're not from this planet, are you? You're from out of town, out of planet somewhere?
Yes, I heard some rumors about that.
Okay, well, tell us again for people who are just tuning in where you're from and what your friends. And actually, I'm interested in talking to them today. If you could bring them in and just always like talking to your friends because your friends are my friends and so we're just one big happy family. So anyway,
absolutely. Well, I was my physical body was born in 1978.
Okay.
And in 1985, I came in as a walk-in. And I'm originally from a planet that's not in our universe, but our planet was exploded. It was under attack.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been in this universe for many, many years, and I've also been here on Earth many, many times before.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the planet I was on for over 3,400 years, that was Micah in the Andromeda galaxy.
Okay.
And I was in Micah and training under Master Oriel.
Mm-hmm.
He was training me for over 3,400 years to gain the Avatar consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So I could bring this consciousness and the knowledge and wisdom about it to Earth in the times that we are in now. So that was my last lifetime before I entered Earth in 85.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you remember your life before 1985 as well?
Yes, I was, for many, many years, I was on board the ship.
Okay.
With the crew and my father. My father, he was not awake at the time. He was asleep in a stasis chamber on board the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And I have on board this ship, I have an avatar body that I sometimes visit. And mm-hmm. I walk around the ship in this avatar body.
Wow.
And my father is awake now, mm-hmm. so I also have conversation with him.
Mm-hmm.
And our planet that was destroyed it's not the same planet, but we have a new planet or a home planet that we will return to when this Earth has ascended.
Beautiful.
So
beautiful.
We are here actually to help humanity. And I know that many people have actually up through the times spoken about different prophecies when my family are returning. And, well, we are in the starting of this period now. we are what they say that we are in the end of the ending games, but we are in the beginning of the new times.
Mm-hmm.
And many refer to that as the golden age.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah.
Is where you're from and your father, I think I know the answer to this, but I wanted to ask you on air. Are you all members of the Galactic Alliance or a different group of entities?
We are, I wouldn't say members of the Galactic Alliance, but we do have been part of meetings in the Galactic Alliance.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Could you, would you mind bringing in some of your friends, maybe your father or your friends off planet? And I'd love to ask them some questions about our future or how we could make this planet a better place.
Absolutely. My master, Oro, have popped in.
Okay.
And I talked to him a little bit when you were talking to Robert Salas.
Okay.
So he just had a brief conversation with me, and he says that the most important things in life right now is actually the most simplest thing. It can be explained in a very simple way,
mm-hmm.
But yet it's very hard to achieve because we have to start looking inside ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in these times we are right now, we will see that what is true will become more truthful,
mm-hmm.
and what is untruth will become more untruthful. So we are all aware that we are in upheaval times all around the world, and everything that we see around us are actually mirroring what we feel inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the chaos that we perceive or experience in our physical reality, it
mm-hmm.
simply reflects the inner chaos and turmoil.
Mm.
So we are in a time now that it is of vital importance to seek out in nature,
mm-hmm.
and connect with the nature. And
mm.
Oriel also asked me to remind us that we have given everything around us a name. A name tag, a definition. We called it. We have the name of the elements, like the air and the water and the soil and the spirit. And you know, we have names on everything: the animals and the flowers and the trees. And when we have all these names, we are kind of, in an unconscious way, we are separating ourselves
right.
away from it.
Right.
And in these times, it's so important to understand and to remember that we all are part of nature. Humans are also nature.
Mm-hmm.
So go out in the nature as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and connect, you know, connect to the tree. Just sit with the tree, and you can just talk to the tree and listen, and it will return messages to you. And the trees are having roots, so it's digged into the soil, and it's connected to the water. So through a connection to the trees, you are connected to all the world around. You can connect to every part of the world and get information if you like. So it's very important to connect the nature that you're part of inside of yourself to the tree, because, or through the flower or the soil or the water or the air, everything,
mm-hmm.
just know that everything are actually connected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's connected through the energy that we all refer to as love. And this love energy is this almighty creative energy that we also refer to as God. And this energy, again, is a special frequency that you can find when you align with nature inside of you and out into the physical nature that we can see around us. And when you align to that frequency, you are getting in touch with the voice of the oneness. And everyone is talking about the oneness these days, but do people really know what it is? And when you connect to this one voice that we all are part of, this special frequency that actually Tesla was talking about, then you can hear the only truth that is found in the universe. And you will connect to a higher knowing, a higher consciousness. And when you're connected to that consciousness, the world around you will start to shift, because the world inside of you will start to shift. and there will be no possibility for thermals anymore in the world.
Well, I have to tell you that while you were talking, Emma, with this beautiful wisdom, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 great masters who stepped in, and they have messages for you and my listeners too. First off, Nostradamus popped in. Now, I don't like to bother Nostradamus because he's always not bother, but I only contact him when I have a specific question. But this is one of the times where he's come in directly because he's listening to the show today. And he said that he saw in our future that it'll become mainstream eventually for us to recognize trees, as you just said, Emma, that they're of great spiritual value to people here on the planet, and they won't cut them down actually for wood because they'll use other methods to other building materials to construct houses and buildings. But he said that especially the older trees have great spiritual knowledge, and you'll be able to communicate with them in the future as this planet advances toward the higher dimensions, that we'll be able to use a 400 or 500 year old tree, old growth tree here in the Northwest, as a way to communicate with other entities and other dimensions and other universes. And then after Nostradamus popped in while you were talking, my good friend Professor Albert Einstein came in. And he said wanted me to share with you about the power of love. Basically, it's the force that holds and develops the universe. It's the one force. It's the unseen force that holds everything together. There was a very beautiful letter that he wrote to his daughter back. I believe it was during the 1930s or 40s. And his message was called a bomb of love, and it was pretty amazing. I just want to share this real quick with you about what he said about that. He said, "The universe force in the force of the universe is love. Love is light that enlightens those who give it and receive it. Love is gravity because it makes some people feel attracted to others. Love is power because it multiplies the best we have and allows humanity not to be extinguished in its blind selfishness. Love unfolds and reveals. For love, we live and die. Love is God, and God is love. And this force explains everything and gives meaning to life. This is the variable that we've ignored for far too long." And then right after that, Dr. Masaru Emoto has just come in, and he talked about love and gratitude as being the most powerful words that he found in his own research with water. And love is as God. And then, of course, when you mentioned Nikola Tesla, Dr. Emoto is working with Nikola Tesla currently on the other side, and Mr. Tesla said that frequency equals vibration, which equals love, which is with the whole movie that that recently was released with Nassim Harriman and Malcolm Carter up in Canada, the producer, who I hope to have on the show here soon to talk about their movie, talking about The One. And then finally, when you were talking about you know, people being learn to change themselves, to look inside themselves to make the changes they need to make this planet a better place. Mahatma Gandhi came in. Then you're really triggering these great spirits coming in today, Emma Louise, because Mahatma Gandhi came in and he said, be the change you want to see in the world. In other words, if you want to create peace in the world, start with yourself.
Yes.
So if you're an angry, upset person, try to calm yourself down and be the peaceful, kind, loving, sweet, and benevolent person. So that the world becomes that way, because we are in ourselves, in our inner selves, we are a mirror of what goes around us. But in rapid succession, you were talking just now, Nostradamus, Professor Einstein, Dr. Masaru Emoto, Nikola Tesla, Mahatma Gandhi came in rapid succession. They're still here, by the way, and they always love what you had to say just now.
Beautiful. And I love what they have to say and what they have done previously when they were here on Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's beautiful, and I'm absolutely positive about the times that we are in now.
Sure, right.
And I also want to say one thing. Yes, I have a very different past and a different, what can I say, a place where I'm coming from, but I have to say that I'm enjoying being a human being at this moment on this earth. It is amazing for me to walk around on this planet and be part of everything around me. And in these times where we see that truth is coming, becoming more truth, and untruth is becoming more untruth, you can kind of focus on what you are seeing around you. Because let's say if you are living in a country that is in war, it's of course it's what you are seeing around you. But if you're living in a country like in Norway, where we are actually very fortunate, and we are, you know, we have all this beautiful clean water still and air
Absolutely.
And all of this, then it's very important. And when you hear about other countries that are in misery, it's so important that you don't go into the misery, but that you are laying here in the beauty that you see around you and keeping the balance for the rest of the world.
Right.
Because
right.
you can see that, let's say, people that are gathering in huge groups and meditating, let's say monks and nuns and other people in spiritual environments, they are holding the peace for the ones that cannot hold it in times of upheaval. So you can say that the ones that are very fortunate and having a very good life compared to others, they are kind of the stillness in the middle of the storm for the rest of the world.
Sure, right.
But But at the same time, it's very important to understand that everything is happening in the world today. The
sure.
good and the bad is part of this process of Mother Gaia, because Mother Gaia is ascending and we are ascending with her.
Right.
And when Mother Gaia is ascending, there are about 1,000 species out in this galaxy that are waiting to go to the next level. When we are ascending,
wow.
they will ascend.
Wow, really, that's amazing. I know that, and I wanted to ask your friends off planet about this too, that I've been told that there are like 40 planets outside of, in this solar system, but it's not all in this dimension. There's some in higher dimensions as well. And so what happens on this planet affects, good or bad, other planets within the solar system, all these other 40 planets. So what you're saying is very important, Emma Louise, is that if as we continue to ascend on this planet and make good choices, hopefully make good choices, then that positive ascension will also help other planets and other entities as well throughout this solar system?
It will, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It will.
Wonderful.
And many people today, I hear all around that many people, not all, but some people, they
mm-hmm.
talk about this, that we humans are the one that we have been waiting for, and
right.
that we cannot expect that
mm-hmm.
anyone is coming down and saving us,
right.
and that we don't get help. But I have to say that, yes, it's both correct and not correct, because
right.
we have to do the work inside of us. That
right.
is correct.
Right.
But at the same time, we have all these other species around us
right.
that are dependent on our ascension, and all of them have used different souls on this planet and
right.
given messages and,
right.
you know, the grace. I mean, there's
mm.
a lot of different types of grace, but there are also benevolent grace.
Mm.
And some of these groups have used people on this planet to kind of help their agenda, and every
sure.
species has an agenda they want to evolve, you know.
Sure.
And of course there are darker species that wants to have power, so they
right.
have that kind of agenda,
right.
but they are actually starting to become fewer at the moment.
I agree.
and getting less
yeah.
and less power.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
many people around this world starting to waking up now, and it's not about waking up to a completely new reality, but waking
right.
up to their
right.
their inner power and
right. Right.
embracing that they have to take responsibility for what's going inside of themselves.
Well, I know that
there's a
bunch of things going on, Emma Louise, and I want to bring Jan Erik. Hi, Jan Erik. Don't want to forget about you, my friend, but we'll bring you in just a minute. As the Schumann resonance, the frequency of the planet keeps going up, it's going to be harder and harder for some darker or negative entities to maintain their negative ways, just because they won't be able to do it, and they'll have to exit the planet. I know that a couple of years ago, when I started taking out implants of people, when I mentioned this with Robert Salas at the end of the first hour, I could take out the superficial ones. the surface ones, but it was always a lot of work. I had to do a lot of pulling, and I'd take them out of the fourth dimension in the astral plane, and I'd throw them out like garbage. But now it's getting much, much easier, and that tells me, anyway, that the power of the reptilians, the power of the negative entities on this planet, is waning. They are on the decline. And so, because it's much easier to take them out today than it was 2 years ago when I first started doing this. And also, too, you know, this is not covered much in the United States media here, but there's a lot of good things happening on this world. You know, why our media here focuses in on North Korea? North Korea is a problem, sure, but they don't talk about many good things happening, too, because people are ascending and they're getting, I think that's the way I look at it, that things are getting better here on the planet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah, yeah. Even now, Jen, I want to bring in Jan Eric. Hey, Jan Eric, how you doing there?
Yeah, great.
Good. I want to bring this in quickly, and I also want to give people some hope about this, too. The chemtrails have been a problem on this planet. It's been, I don't know how long it's been being done, at least the last decade or two, of spraying the atmosphere. But I know that when I was in Shasta, Mount Shasta a few weeks ago, normally Mount Shasta is covered completely in chemtrails. I know in October of 2016, I was down in the Mount Shasta area, and I looked up one morning, and you could see at least 20 or 30 chemtrails about 6:30 in the morning, and the sun was just coming up, and it looked like this kaleidoscope of different colors. There have been so many chemicals sprayed. But now when we were down there a few weeks ago, there was maybe just a few chemtrails, not many at all. Sure, they were still spraying, but there was hardly any left. Here in Seattle today, I don't see any chemtrails at all, and they've been spraying here in the Seattle and Bellevue area as well. And I know that you and Emma were down in Barcelona, Spain recently. What was it like down there, Jan Eric, in terms of the atmosphere?
Yes, we was the last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And on Sunday, when we went to the airport, we was a little shocked because it was a very nice sun in the morning.
Right.
And when we start going to the taxi, we start to see planes overhead in Barcelona.
Okay.
And we thought, my God, they're starting now. Why?
Right.
And then when we went to the airport, we were driving about 25 minutes. And we saw more and more clouds coming because we were heading to the seaside.
Pardon me, Jen Eric, is there some clicking on the line? If someone's typing, please stop for a moment because we can hear you clearly over the...
Maybe some interference or something, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
When we come to the airport, we saw so many planes overheads came trailing. We saw lines after lines after lines. Oh, unbelievable.
Well...
And then this start popping into my head. Why are they chemtrailings now? Mm-hmm. Why they're putting so much effort? Because we've seen that in Norway, they're putting chemtrails. Yeah, about maybe every second day or every third day they're putting chemtrails when a good sun is coming. Mm-hmm. But now we saw why is so much chemtrails now in Barcelona?
Mm-hmm.
And then because when we was in the Barcelona, we heard lots of noise in the streets and lots of police cars with full armed with for battle against some protesters.
Okay.
And then we heard there was going to be an election down there because the Catalan people want to be separated from Spain.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Spain on the 1st October, I heard.
Is that the Basque region of Spain or another area?
No, this is Catalan.
Catalan, okay. Not
Catalan area.
Okay, all right.
And for about 5 weeks ago, I think 5 weeks, 6 weeks ago, it was a bomb in Barcelona. And after the bomb, there was much more security in the streets.
Okay. Okay.
And when we see that example about the bomb, we see now that all the police are more militarized in the clothing and weaponry. We see what's happening after bomb, and now we see the election day, and now we see the chemtrails. Why are they doing all this? Because they are now preparing for election day.
I see. So I know in the chemtrails here in the United States, Jan Eric and Emma Louise, that they spray a lot of aluminum, which basically dumbs down people. What aluminum does is separates two frontal lobes of people's brains, so they get Alzheimer's, and literally it reduces your intelligence. So you think that all the chemtrails are an attempt to affect the elections? Interesting. Well,
to actually dumb them down a little bit, I think.
Well, I don't know how you feel about this. Especially, I loved your friends off planet, their comments on this. But you know, they may try this stuff, but it's not going to work. I mean, it is our destiny as a planet and humanity on this planet to become a much better and happier planet. And if people want freedom, let them have it, you know. But I know that these efforts by the negative entities, I think they're desperate, and I don't think the old tricks which they used to use aren't working as well anymore, and they're not going to work in the future. What do you think, Emma Louise, and what do your friends think?
Well, first of all, my family are not involved with any cleaning up of chemtrails. My family are only involved with the ascension process.
Okay.
I remember that I was only a child when I told my father that one day they will start spraying the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to make us careless. But when that day comes, that's the end of the old times and the start of the beginning.
Oh.
So I know that we are in, as I said before, in this upheaval all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we will see a lot of things
mm-hmm.
happening that will shock us and make us sad, you know. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, I have this inner peace and knowing that all of these bad things that's happening, they will go toward an end.
I agree, yeah. Emma Louise. And Jen Eric, what do you think?
Yes, this will be ending, because the faster the money stops
mm-hmm.
funding this type of things against the humanity,
right.
it will stop.
Right.
But they have done this for very, very, very long time.
Oh, I know.
Well, it's in the 50s.
Well.
And the first, one of the first projects they started with what you call chemicals in the air. That was when we starting to understand all the visitors coming to the planets to visit the planets,
mm-hmm.
and they found out if they started spraying the sky with aluminium and metal, when they spacecrafts who come into a vortex, when they suddenly into this atmosphere. In a vortex,
mm-hmm.
it says some type of energy,
mm-hmm.
and this energy was influencing all the aluminium in the air,
mm-hmm.
and they can see it on the screen.
Wow, amazing!
Yeah,
amazing.
And before they're starting to do this, we have this NSA today who are actually taking surveillance over everybody. But mm-hmm. in the early days, in the '50s,
mm-hmm.
they have airplanes. Monitoring the equator round the clock every hour
to monitor
who's actually coming into the planets.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Well, don't you love it when there's other television or radio shows and they always give you doubt in the mind as whether there's actual life beyond this planet when these entities have been here for many, many thousands of years and they show up in the sky all the time. I mean, when I was at Shasta, Mount Shasta, a few weeks ago, we see. I mean, it's normal to see UFOs flying around, and there was a lady on. I mentioned this before on the radio, who from Minnesota, who came on this on my trip to Mount Shasta. It was about 3 weeks ago, and she was healed by the Sasquatch and a benevolent ET craft that she was sleeping in her van one night. And the whole top of the van became translucent, and she could see the stars out in the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they beamed a white light down into her van, brought her up on the board of the craft, healed her crippled legs, and she'd been crippled for decades, put her back in the van. The next morning, you can imagine how happy she is. She comes running up to the campsite saying, "Where's breakfast? And I don't need my crutches anymore." And she threw away her wheelchair. I mean, I know they're out there. I see them all the time around here. The galactic craft are very distinctive. They have five lights around it in a circular fashion with a larger white light in the middle, and I communicate telepathically with them all the time, and I ask for and receive protection from them. So they're out there. I know they're there.
And at the same time, we're going to learn all this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we are ascending and also get onto what we call the fifth dimension,
mm-hmm.
when you start to get into the fifth dimension more and more, that's when we understand all this, how everything is working.
Right.
So then we see more and more healing, more and more powerful mm-hmm. people with right. knowledge, because right. we are staying in the fifth dimension.
Right, right. Jack Kennedy has told me before that if he had not been killed on November 22nd, 1963, that by this time our longevity would have easily doubled and tripled.
Now
we would have been exchanging ambassadors with other civilizations from other planets. Money would still be around, but would be de-emphasized because we'd have free energy. And we wouldn't mm-hmm. have any wars mm-hmm. on the planet anymore. We basically would have ascended into this higher dimension. But he also says that because it's the destiny of planet Earth to ascend, go into this higher dimension, the fifth dimension and higher, that it's happening now. And there's nothing that the negative entities can do about it, because it's a directive from the supreme being, the entity that created all of this, and this is happening.
Yeah.
So
it's happening.
Yeah.
Not only for our planets.
Right.
It's for the whole solar system and all of the clusters planets too.
Well,
everyone is going to this ascension now.
Now, this is something I wanted to ask both of you now, and especially you, Emma, since you have your families from out of town and not from around these parts. There are civilizations and planets in this solar system and elsewhere in this universe, I've been told, Emma Louise and Jan Eric, which have been waiting, who've been waiting for this planet to ascend so that they can ascend as well, because we have to ascend first and then they'll ascend. Is that true? I've heard that from different sources.
That's absolutely true.
Okay.
It is. It's a planet and races on this planet. Because one universe is connected, you know, there is no separation between anything. There is no separation between the Earth and for instance, the planet Venus or Mars or mm-hmm. whatever planet you like to bring in. Everything that's inside one universe is breathing and living in a symbiosis or in a symphony, mm-hmm. you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So what affects one planet is affecting all. And we have among the planets and the stars, we have little brothers and little sisters and big brothers and big sisters, you know, among the planets. And some of them have been here longer than the others.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just how it is with the humans on Earth. And, you know, in a flock with the siblings, everything that we do with each other, the sisters and the brothers do with each other, affect each other. So if a younger brother have a big brother to look up to,
mm-hmm.
he will kind of stretch after that. And that's what is in this universe. We have different planets that already are in the seventh dimension, and the Earth are in the third dimension, and it's on its way to the fifth dimension, and we are going up to the seventh dimension, and we have all the way up to the 12th and even the 13th.
Hmm.
So
amazing.
We are affecting each other. That's for sure.
Amazing. I want to make this comment, then going back to you, Jan Eric. But I just got a message from my galactic friends that there are some benevolent ETs in human form at your conference there in Norway this weekend. So if you meet anybody there who's extremely high energy and full of love and light and high vibration, their clothes may be a little different, but they're probably not from around these parts. So just keep that in mind. I've been told that they are among us, actually, but And the human like us, but they're much more advanced and they have a beautiful light energy. You'll know who you, if you run into someone like that, let me know. I think it'd be fun to talk about it. But go ahead, Jen Eric. Yeah, go ahead.
We will look for them. We will look for them.
Yeah.
When we talk about ascension, some animals has already went back to the planets, their own planets.
Really?
We talk about the whales.
Okay.
And the whales, okay. Some of the whales for about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. they starting to be being transmission back to the planets.
Back to Sirius. And I know whales and dolphins.
Sirius B.
Sirius B.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And the rest of the whales who's back here, they're going to stay here to help to get the frequency on the planet on the right level.
Oh, that's wonderful. I know that I haven't mentioned this in a long time, and I don't know what's happening with it now, but while President Obama was president here in the United States, he had a program where he ordered the U.S. Navy to test this new sonar system, which mm-hmm. was intentionally killing off whales and dolphins, and I think his plan was to kill off 5 million whales and dolphins. And of course, I think President Obama was controlled, and as was our U.S. Navy as well, because why would anyone in their right mind want to kill off these beautiful creatures? But that, by the same token, these creatures, the whales and dolphins were actually, they were responsible for the ascension of the planet in raising the vibrations of Mother Earth, Gaia, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what's happening with that program now. I think the Navy was ordered by a federal judge in Hawaii last year to stop the program. I don't know what's happening now. I think it's been stopped, but I'm not sure. So
I haven't heard about anything about it, but everything is about new weaponry.
Right.
To get new weapon so they can just split ships with frequency.
Right.
So you don't need to blow them up, you can just split them in
mm-hmm.
half.
Hmm.
Everything is about frequency. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. You can make very bad weapon about frequency,
but
you can make unbelievable technical medical equipment in frequency, and you can help people.
That's on the positive side, and that's what Dr. Tsurumoto always used to say before he passed away, unfortunately, back in October of 2014. That everything is frequency. Everything is what he called HADO, H-A-D-O.
If you
raise your vibration, you can literally make this world a much better and happier place. This is an example that I want to mention. I mentioned this before, but he took a bottle of radioactive water from a nuclear power plant in Japan, and he wrote the words love and gratitude on the bottle, and then he pasted on some beautiful crystals formed by love and gratitude he photographed in his laboratory on the bottle of water. You know what happened to the radiation within 48 hours? Gone, completely gone.
Gone, yeah.
And how simple would it be for TEPCO, Tokyo Electric Power Company in Japan at Fukushima, to write love and gratitude in Japanese on the reactors in Fukushima, get rid of the radiation? Take 3 minutes and get rid of it? They could do this. They could do the same thing here at Hanford in Washington State, which still has radioactive waste on it. How long would it take to work there? By the way, I do have a person inside at Hanford who's planning on doing that, so that should be very interesting.
And interesting. We know all the AA ancient people, mm-hmm. they use emblems like symbols, and they put them on special things, so they actually magnifying the strange of things. The old tunnels who are going under the other tunnels we have on the secret underground bases. We have under tunnels under them. On those tunnels we have symbols on the walls to strengthen the walls, so the walls get much stronger because of the symbols.
Well, you know what we can do? I have an old car, and I have to tell you this story. It's an old car, and I've put on love and gratitude crystals, or written love and gratitude on my car, and I think it does run better as a result. So for all of you owning older cars out there, just write love and gratitude, or put these crystals on your car, and it should run better. We've got about 6 minutes left, and I've been prompted by my good friend, President John F. Kennedy, to play this short segment called Ask Not. And then I want to come back and wrap up your wonderful interview. I'd like to play that now, if we can, Eric. Thank you.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. My fellow citizens of the world, ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
Wonderful.
Very nice.
Wonderful. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, isn't that beautiful?
Yes, it was a very, very powerful.
Yeah, so I'd like to hear that kind of speech today from some of our leaders today, but that's okay. We're playing it now because President Kennedy, I know, is listening to today's program, and he all wants us to succeed, and he's going to help us. He's been helping us, too, from the other side. And anyway, we have a few minutes left, Emma Louise and John Eric, and I wanted to give you this time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
Okay. I want to actually read a little affirmation by a man called Tony Carmina Salerno. Mm-hmm. He's a beautiful author and artist of many books. And he has written this affirmation that I think is very beautiful to wrap up today. He writes, "I give thanks for the healing that is taking place now in my life. I express all I feel honestly and lovingly, without fear or apprehension. I am safe, I am loved, I am one with the goddess, I am one with the earth and all creation." And that is probably the main message from my family today to everyone that is listening and everyone else, that we have to start understanding that we are not separated from nature or each other. We are actually one with this beautiful consciousness that we call love. Mm-hmm. And we all should connect back to it. And this connection starts within, through our heart and through our soul and into this frequency of love.
Mm-hmm. As Mahatma Gandhi would say, be the change that you wish to see in the world. In other words, work inside yourself first before you try to get things going on a grander scale. And that's beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much, Emma Louise and John Eric. We've got about a minute left, but go ahead. I'd love to hear your comments too.
Yeah, now is the time to think about what actually happened around the world. Mm-hmm. We have so many disasters, so many earthquakes, everything. And now is the time to think goodness of everybody. Mm-hmm. We can't not hide from the information, but we have to send love, gratitude and love to all now, mm-hmm. because everybody now are struggling in special areas. And this all is going to increase. We're going to have more earthquakes, mm-hmm. because Gaia is ascending. So that when we go into the solar system and all the planets are the same.
Right.
So we have to have it in the thoughts all the time now.
Wonderful.
This is normal for ascending.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, Emma Louise and John Eric, thank you so much for staying up so late from beautiful Norway. And I want to appreciate you so much for coming on tonight, today. next week, I'll have Emmanuel Eiter on talking about his new films, as well as Tom Palladino talking about scalar healing. And with that, what I'd love to do is wrap up this hour with this beautiful water song in deference to Dr. Emoto. Thank you again so much, Jan Louise and Jan Eric, for coming on today. Eric,
if you could... so beautiful.
Thank you so much, Ted.
Right, thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
No hoshi hikari no 川を越えて Milky Way
人はなぜ地球に